back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
Oh, so it's been a hectic week. First full week back for me, at least, since getting back from my vacation over the holidays. But lucky enough to have Monday off next week for Martin Luther King Day, so that'll be nice. Tomorrow's Friday, so I feel like, obviously, yesterday being hump day, you get over the hump, but I've just had a lot to do this week, and Thursday has been no different than yesterday, where it was just one thing after another, and next thing you know, it's time to go to bed. So,
yeah.
But, hey, other than that, just chugging along as usual.
Yeah, I mean, in regards to that, too, I feel like the Flyers have been chugging along as well. That was a poorly timed transition and pun, but whatever, it worked. Winners of the last six of their last seven games, I believe.
Yep.
They were riding a four-game winning streak. Since the last time we were with everyone last week, but then they ran into the Toronto Maple Leafs on Sunday evening, and that was with a nice little suffered loss where the actually team played kind of really bad.
Yeah.
But then they took that trouncing and turned it into an impressive win over the highest scoring team in the National Hockey League and a team wearing their amazing throwback uniforms that I thought the Flyers had no chance. They turned that into a 4-0 win over the Buffalo Sabres. And, of course, just last evening, Wednesday night, the 11th of January, a 5-3 win over the Washington Capitals, in which Travis Konecny had his second career hat trick. And, yep, of course, going back to last Thursday, before we get into all this, too, the Flyers did beat the Arizona Coyotes 6-2. So, overall, things are, you know, the team is responding more and more each and every day to John Tortorella and his systems. And you're seeing a lot of players, you know, really starting to come alive. Owen Tippett with a hell of a goal last night, Konecny again. But you're really seeing, starting from the goaltending out, is where you're seeing all these changes and these positivities to say, hey, look, hey, there's at least a future here. Because the play of Carter Hart and now Sam Harrison this season has been phenomenal. And, of course, Sam Harrison getting his first career shutout in that 4-0 win against the Sabres on Monday night. And where we stand right now, the Flyers currently, they're doing their thing, whether this is the thing they always do in years they don't make the playoffs, or if it's just this is what they're doing this year, they're kind of climbing their way back into being in the picture and in the mix for the postseason. Now, 7 points is still a lot of points to make up and gain ground, but they're one game under NHL 500. They're 17-18-7. You know, they're at least enjoying to watch, and it's not like you're dreading putting on your TV again, like kind of the point we were getting towards the holidays there. Ever since the Disney on Ice trip, this has been a different team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also on a personal streak of watching the last three games in a row, so patting myself on the back for that.
I haven't done that. Yeah, and
I've wanted to watch games before, trust me, but it's like the Arizona game last week when they won 6-2. I think I texted you. We were texting each other when this is going on, because this was also quick sidebar. If you didn't know, Canada won the gold medal at the World Juniors. Yippee, we're not Canadian, so we don't really care. No offense, Canada. Sorry, not sorry. So, but congrats, Canada.
It was a hell of a gold medal game, though.
Yeah, great game, great tournament. The United States finishes with the bronze, yes.
Yes,
we beat
Sweden in overtime. That was a barn burner of a game.
Yeah, but United States hockey, I think we got to get our Tortorella said it, so I'll say it. We got to get our shit together. He didn't say that, but I'll allude to why he says shit in a couple minutes here. But
yes.
I was watching the Arizona game the first period, and then I go to the grocery store for like not even an hour, and then I get back in the car, and the second period was just about over. And of course, I missed the Flyers put up a 5 spot in the second period, and then they add one more in that game to get a 6-2 win over the Coyotes, which they should. I mean, they are a team that the Flyers should beat.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. So again, we know the Flyers aren't that good, but that's a team that they should beat. But then a couple days off, they go to back in the Wells Fargo Center again for a back-to-back with Toronto and then Buffalo, a home and away. But the Toronto game, I mean, again, like you said, Dave, they played pretty terribly. The puck, I remember I had the game on my iPad for the most part, between my iPad and my TV when I was doing stuff around my apartment, and the puck dropped, and like not even 5 seconds in, the Leafs had about, I don't know, 4 or 5 good quality scoring chances, and then they just kind of rolled away. Like, as the game went on, obviously the Flyers went down. They were down 6-2. That was the end of this, like, and the final score. Sorry, I'm tripping over my words. But after that, I mean, that was a bad game for Morgan Frost. I think he had 2 turnovers that led to each led to a goal at some point in the game. Tony DeAngelo got benched for the whole third period. But I will say, again, I know I'm jumping all over the place here, I did watch the post-game show that night, and with DeAngelo's press conference in the locker room, he actually took accountability for it. He's like, listen, I know I played bad. It happens. Everyone gets benched. And I'm like, this is what we've wanted all along. Like, players taking accountability. We know Torts is a guy who doesn't play around, and he's going to bench someone because they're playing like crap. So he did that in the third period. DeAngelo, again, wasn't the dude we think he is. I mean, regardless of what you think of him as a person, as a player, he took accountability, said, you know what, I had a bad game. I got benched. Everyone gets benched. And he's right. So, I mean, I can't, like, that accountability, I like it. Thumbs up. And then on the other side of things, Tortorella, again, had a great comment, a great quote, actually 2 great quotes. One of them was pretty much the summary of the game, where the Flyers, in Torch's words, self-destructed the shit out of ourselves, which they did. I mean, they put Toronto on the power play. Let's see how many times. Only 2, but they gave up 1 power play goal. But again, the Flyers are 0-for-4 in the power play. They lose the majority of the faceoffs. The Flyers have 8 giveaways. Like, I don't know. I mean, again, just a tough game there. John Tavares and Kyle Yarncroke each had a goal and 2 assists for Toronto. Austin Matthews added a goal. Nick Delorier actually did have a nice goal, a nice backhand goal.
And he made it a 1-goal game. Like, this was a game where the Flyers did their thing, where they kind of played a little bit sloppy, but they were still in it, and then they just made 1 mistake, and then it was over from there.
Yeah, the Flyers gave up a shorthanded goal and a power play goal in the game. So, I mean, again, you can't really do that in any game, no matter who you play. But that was a microcosm, again, of the Flyers just not being up to snuff with these other elite Eastern Conference teams, or just teams in the league in general. So, yeah. But they got that sour taste out of our mouth again the next night in Buffalo, and I'm going to take personal responsibility and eat my own words, because I tweeted that day that the Flyers had already lost simply because the Buffalo Sabres were wearing their goat head jerseys.
I said the similar thing on Twitter. I was like, Flyers lose. There's no way the Flyers win this game tonight.
Yeah. I mean, the goat head jerseys are literally one of the goat jerseys of all time. I mean, I'll say in sports. I don't care about just hockey, in sports. But the Flyers, again, they make us both eat our words. The Sabres have been a good team for a good part of the season, and the Flyers shut them out 4-0. Samuel Erickson, like you said, Dave, gets his first career shutout in just his 5th game, I believe.
I can check for you.
It was his 4th straight win, so that was his 4th game. Yeah.
He's played 5 games, and he's technically 4-0. So I believe he got pulled in 1, or he was put in relief in 1 game. Yeah. Enough where it counted as a game played. But technically, he is 4-0 with a .230 goals against average and a .924 save percentage. Not bad for the young Swede.
Yeah, and I mean, again, Carter Hart's been playing well. Samuel Larson's playing well as of right now. And I think multiple people, I'm sure, have said it in some way, shape, or form, but the Flyers have a good problem in goal right now, was that both their goalies, as of now on Thursday night, have been performing well over the past few games, regardless of the score. I mean, again, Carter Hart was kind of getting shellacked against the Maple Leafs. He was getting shellacked last night against the Capitals, even though the Flyers pulled that one out, thanks to a great game from Konechny, who had his second career hat trick, like you said. Hashtag, what is it, NHL All-Star Konechny? Retweet that, tweet it, tell your friends. Hold on. Tell your family, tell your doctors, your coworkers.
It's just you do hashtag and you do hashtag NHL All-Star vote, and then you have to do the player's first and last name.
That seems so complicated.
And apparently for every hashtag you do it with their name, it counts as a vote, and retweets count.
Gotcha.
So that leads me to a point for our listeners. Personally, I tweeted it. Then I retweeted from the podcast Twitter my tweet about voting for TK in the All-Star game. And then I also fired out a tweet on the podcast's Twitter. So, all Flyers fans, you have a job to do, and listeners of the podcast, is if you're on Twitter, head to our Twitter profile, @5minmajorpod, and retweet that tweet. Because we need Travis Konechny in the All-Star game, but that is a topic that we are going to get to shortly.
Yes. But, Dave, as I roll on here, like I said, we'll move on to last night. The Flyers play the Capitals in Philadelphia. It got interesting. I will say that. The Flyers were up 3-1 at one point. They go up 4-1, and then it was 4-2. And then, luckily, Travis Konechny gets his third of the night for the hat trick to make it 5-3 with an empty netter with under a minute left in the game. But, I mean, Konechny now has a 10-game point streak. He has, I believe, 21 goals on the season already. I saw somewhere he's on pace for 97 points this season. He's already tied a career high in goals, I believe, as well.
Konechny has 24 goals.
24 goals. Even better than 21. So, yes. Konechny having a career year so far. Hopefully he keeps it up. Again, like you said, Owen Tippett with just an absolute rip.
Piss missile.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him come out of his shell, so to speak, this season, which has been great because, again, I mean, even us, we were extremely critical of Fletcher's trade of Giroux because, again, you're not going to get a perfect return, but also, again, we can kind of step back now and see that objective side of things where Fletcher's hands were kind of tied, where that trade in a vacuum, so to speak, to get a guy like Tippett and then a couple draft picks. I mean, Tippett's been very good this year. And so, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a great trade still, but I like Tippett, and he's a good player. He's shown that he's got some talent and some skill, and, again, hopefully he can keep it up.
I mean, to talk about Owen Tippett there, Matt, you bring up a good point, you know. We were, like you said, we were both very critical of the Claude Giroux trade to the Florida Panthers last season. And I tweeted this today as well. At the time, when the Flyers made the deal, I thought they were, you know, they got a bum end on the deal. You know, they got a first round pick that I thought was going to be a late first rounder. And then they got Owen Tippett, who I thought was a draft bust. And yet here we are, Owen Tippett's looking like, you know, he's got a chance to shine here in Philly. He's getting top 6 minutes regularly. And, you know, he's looking like he's turning into a player. And he's another one of these young players who's responded well to John Tortorella and his coaching style and his system. Mm-hmm. And it looks like here that he's turning into someone that could be, you know, I don't think he'll ever be a quote-unquote elite scoring forward, but he's still a shot-first scoring winger that the Flyers have always needed. Like, what's the one thing we've always said for years, Matt, the Flyers need is a top six scoring winger.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Owen Tippett's always done.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll ever be like a 40 goal scorer, but he might be a lot like JVR, who gets you, you know, 25 to 35 goals a year. And he's good on the power play. You know, every team needs that. And if the Flyers continue to not do well, and maybe they do ever pursue a rebuild, which a lot of fans still think they need, obviously, respectfully. You still can't argue that point with how the past 2 years have gone and how this season's kind of gone at points.
We're going to get to player that.
He's a player that you potentially could move and get some assets back for.
Yeah.
So I personally love it. And the fact that we have Florida's first-round pick next year, and they are looking like they were a fraudulent team last year. Just going to go ahead and say that.
Yeah. But,
Owen Tippett so far. Two thumbs up.
Yeah. Speaking of JVR, too, like you mentioned, we had him and his brother, TVR, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, both hit milestones. Trevor Van Riemsdyk played his 500th game last night against the Flyers with the Capitals. And then Monday night,
Monday in Buffalo, yeah.
I was like, wait, am I right for once? So, yeah.
You're more right than I am.
I was going to say, Monday night against the Sabres in Buffalo, JVR on the Flyers played in his 900th career game. So a couple milestones within 3 days for both brothers. They had a nice picture last night together before the game. They were showing family, all that stuff, because obviously, again, I mean, they're both New Jersey natives, so that's good.
North Jersey.
Big milestone for the VR brothers, we'll call them. But, yeah, I mean, that's good to see. And then also last night, too, just another couple good things. Scott Laughton with a low-key good game. I mean, a really good game. He had three points, a goal, and assist. I know our boy Hoagie. Actually, he was the third star of the game. I don't know why someone else – people were, like, calling for him to be the first star. Like, he didn't have a hat trick. No offense.
He had 3 points, and I guess he made some – like, he helped – he set up, like, all of TK's goals for the hat trick.
Yeah. But, I mean, he had a great game. I'm not going to say anything else. Like, if you're a star of the game, you had a good game, obviously, so I can't really complain. The Flyers get 2-for-6 on the power play last night. Not good, not great, but also, again, hey, we'll take what we can get. We know the power play has been just a steaming pile of, you know what I mean, for a long time. So, it was good to see at least 2 power play goals. They also got a shorthanded goal last night, which was great, from Konechny. Yeah. So yep. I'm, like, doubting myself here, but I literally watched the game, and I'm like, I know what's going on. I know what happened, so I don't know why I'm doing
that. Was that his first goal tonight?
Second.
His second? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the one where him and Lawton had a 2-on-1, and Lawton did the good old EA Sports NHL cross-crease pass goal.
So, yeah, I mean, the Flyers, again, they've been playing good hockey as of late. Dave, before I throw it over to you, I'll just go over the next couple games here. They are in Washington Saturday night for their second, the back end of the home-and-home against the Caps, obviously. A tough trip to Boston on Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock in Boston, and then they're home for 2 games next week on Tuesday and Thursday against the Anaheim Ducks and the Chicago I almost said the Chicago Red Wings because they play Detroit next Saturday. The Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday the 19th, and then on Saturday the 21st, they are in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena for the Detroit Red Wings. So, I mean, as we always say, it doesn't get any easier, but with the Flyers, we just kind of take what we can get at this point. So they've had a good couple weeks or so, and you know, we see what happens. But there's a lot of positives. There's a lot to look forward to. Kevin Hayes is an all-star, which we kind of brushed over a little bit. But, I mean, he's had a good season so far. Obviously, again, he's been great since he lost his brother. But, I mean, he's a well-deserved all-star for the Flyers. And then, again, we also hope Konechny also gets those votes. So, you know, vote, what is it, NHL all-star vote. And then type Travis Konechny.
Yeah, you do hashtag NHL all-star vote, and then the player's first and last name.
I wish it just counted it for as many times as we said it, because then we could just have an hour-long podcast of us just saying it to get votes.
That would be very tiring to say. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, anyway, I mean, Kevin Hayes having a good season. He's been a little quiet lately, but hopefully he kind of picks things up. And again, we hope Travis Konechny joins him. We'll go over the All-Star stuff later and around the league. But Dave, I'll throw it over to you. Just general thoughts on the Flyers as of late. And then we'll hop into a little bit of, is this really good or is it not? So yeah. Just your overall thoughts on the week prior, and kind of, again, that'll segue us right into our next topic.
I mean, overall, I can't really complain. I mean, being a fan of the Flyers, that I want to see them do well, you know, they've recently, in their last 4 games, you know, they're 3-1. You know, they've won more than they've lost. And that's always, when you're a fan of a team, that's what you want to have happen. Does it stink the Flyers are doing this in a year where kind of the fan base wanted to rebuild and a lot of the fan base is angry that the team's performing well because of who's at the top of the draft table in Connor Bedard? Yeah, it kind of does. But also at the end of the day, if you would have asked me 2 years ago where I thought this after the bubble, if you asked me after the bubble, which was 2 years ago, where I thought the Flyers would be right now, I would have told you they would be contending for the Stanley Cup. Because I thought that's where they were headed. So the fact that we're now in this boat where we clearly are not a contender, and there does need to be some organizational retooling, rebuilding going on, without a doubt that needs to happen, because I still don't have any faith in our general manager being Chuck Fletcher. As of now, you know, they're fun to watch and they're enjoyable. And yes, there's some tinkering, and you can tell they're learning towards the system and they're not perfect. And, you know, they're probably going to lose when they play the elite teams like Toronto. But in years past, you know, they would beat the Torontos and then lose to the Ducks or to the Coyotes, which they've already done. They technically already lost to the Coyotes this year. But yeah. They would lose the more teams like those, and then that would shoot themselves in the foot, and they would play the elite teams and win. And it'd be like, well, why can't you put this together? So I feel like even this year, when they've lost to the elite teams, they've at least been in the game for a good chunk of it. Like, we haven't seen too many, like, embarrassing games. Like, there hasn't been any 9-0 Rangers wins this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, there hasn't been anything like that this year.
You had to
right,
say
I just feel like I was embarrassed to be a fan, and I'm not gonna. I'm not. If you can hear the knocking on wood, I'm on my dining room table here. I hope that continues. As of right now, like, I'm happy. Like, I'm not gonna actually root for my team to tank and suck, because, you know, with how hockey is, for how we know, with how close, like, the Eastern Conference playoff race isn't as, like, solid as we think it is.
Yeah.
And even though 7 points out is still a pretty big margin, I mean, the rest of this month, the only teams they play that scare me, the Boston Bruins. And that's Monday on MLK Day in Boston. The rest of their month of January, their schedule, I'm not really afraid of at all. Like, the Caps, seeing they can beat them already this year multiple times. So, okay, that can go either way. They're probably going to lose the Bruins. The Bruins, I think, are like 32-4-4. Like, they are going to win the. They're probably going to win the President's Trophy.
You were spot on, actually.
Was I really?
Yeah.
I know I saw their record earlier, but yeah, was it 32-4-4?
Yep.
So, like, they're probably going to win the President's Trophy, and they're the top contender in the East for the Stanley Cup. So you're probably not winning that game. Okay, so you're 1-1. You know. But then you play Anaheim, Chicago, and Detroit your next 3 games in a row. You better beat the Ducks. You better beat the Blackhawks. And while Detroit is up and coming, they're kind of in similar boat as the Flyers. So, and overall, when I compare the two rosters, I'm going to be a bit of a homer here. I like the Flyers roster better just because I think of their goaltending. While Detroit may have some more elite, younger talent than the Flyers do, it all comes down to net. And I'm not really confident in Billy Husso or Alex Nedeljkovic for the Red Wings. So then after Detroit, you go into Winnipeg, LA, Minnesota, and Winnipeg again to close out the month of January. You know, they've already beaten the Kings. The Winnipeg Jets, you know, they're better than what they were last year, but they're really just Connor Hellebuck, and the Flyers do well against him. And they're not really scared of the Wild either. So this could all go terribly, terribly wrong. And we could be eating our crow in a week and 2 weeks. But, I mean, as of right now, the Flyers could, the 7 points they need to make up to get back into being a playoff spot, they could easily make that up this month. Or they could just as easily shit the bed, and we could be talking about how they're buried for the rest of the year. So,
yeah.
But as of now, I'm choosing positivity. You know? It's frustrating. It's frustrating because you don't want to see the franchise go on a hot streak and go on a hot run and then still end up missing the playoffs, because then you're picking where they've always been picking, where they've done this every year, you know, where they're picking between 10 to 15. And it's like, okay, You might get a good player. You might get a bust. That's what happens there. Yeah. You know, the Flyers really do need to be picking top 10 if they want to continuously build where this thing is going.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's there's one thing that I still will stand by, no matter how well they're doing, is that Fletcher needs to go as the GM.
Without a doubt.
I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, which, again, I would like them to, but I don't think they will.
Correct.
7 points doesn't seem like that many, but, I mean, also, again, there's if teams in front of us keep winning, then it's going to be more than
that. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what's going to happen is that the Flyers could continue the way that they're playing, but I think that teams that are closer to a wild card spot or have a chance to creep into that top three of the division, whether it's the Metro or the Atlantic, because, I mean, obviously they'll play a majority Eastern Conference opponents for the rest of the season, it's just going to kind of become the Flyers are going to just fall behind, I think. And it's not going to be – it's mainly just because of skill, because teams going – we're just over halfway through the season. There's still a lot of track left. So, again, like you said, Dave, we could all – next week you come around and we'd be like, the team sucks again, like, blah, 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 this is all going wrong. So
– or you never know. Or they could be the St. Louis Blues the year they won the Cup.
Yeah. But I think right now my thoughts is that, again, I don't want them to tank. But, again, the draft this year is so good. You obviously would like you said, you don't want to get people's hopes up just to fall off at the end and then get a middle-of-the-pack pick who's nothing special. You want – I know, again, it sounds like I'm rooting for tanking here, but you want your losing to be for something good. And we know, obviously, that bad teams get rewarded with good with draft picks. So that's all I'll say about that. But I think, again, what's going to happen is that it's just going to kind of happen naturally as the season goes on, is that teams that are poised to make either runs at the playoffs or want to get deep in the playoffs are going to be buyers at the trade deadline. I think the Flyers probably will be sellers at the deadline.
I mean, according to Elliot Friedman, they are going to be. Apparently, yeah, they're going to be looking to offload upcoming UFA deals, like a JVR.
Yeah.
Apparently, supposedly, you're hearing rumblings online that Ivan Provorov and Kevin Hayes have both requested trades out of the organization. So do either of those deals happen? Yeah. What's the return there on those players, you know?
So I think, again, like, we could see we could see a very different team come. I think March is the trade deadline.
It might be late February. Hold on.
But like I said, other teams are going to be gearing up for the playoffs, for a playoff run. If you have the date up, feel free to interject.
March 3rd is the deadline. There you go.
So come March 3rd, I think the Flyers, come March 4th, the Flyers are going to look like a different team. We could see guys, obviously, again, this is just basic knowledge, if guys get traded, but they won't be here anymore. They'll be on a different team. I think the Flyers are just going to kind of fall out of contention. And again, that could change either way. They could go on some crazy run and not get rid of anyone, or just, again, completely just the wheels could fall off. But right now my thinking is that, again, they're just naturally going to fall behind because they don't have the talent. If they unload guys like Provorov or Hayes or I would hate to say Hoagie, I'm sorry, but if they unload Lawton,
I don't think they're unloading Lawton. Personally, I don't think they're going to do
that. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. But I think there's going to be at least one or two guys that are kind of big names, quote-unquote, that might not be here after the trade.
Your three unrestricted free agents on the team come next season are JVR, Patrick Brown, and Justin Braun. So you definitely have to think Braun's going to get traded again somewhere, and that's a couple mid-round draft picks, probably like third and fourth or fifth, sixth rounders.
Yep.
Patrick Brown, he's a bottom six forward, AHL forward. He's going to get you maybe a seventh, sixth round pick. I don't think he gets you anything higher than that.
Future considerations?
Possibly. And JVR, who knows what that can get you. He's got a bit of a high contract. I mean, he's making $7 million. He's overpaid. But, I'm trying to not overvalue him for based off of the sentimental reasons I have around him, just because he's been with his team for so long and not with him for so long. Yeah. But if the right buyer comes along, you can get some nice pieces for JVR, depending on who you sell them to. So, and then it begs the question, do you move Hayes? Do you move Provorov? I mean, out of those two, personally, Master, real quick, if you want to give your thoughts here, this after I get mine, out of the two, I would rather keep Kevin Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Ivan Provorov is only 25. I don't think he's a finished product. Do we think he is the elite franchise number one defenseman we draft him to be? No, he's probably not.
No.
But he's still a damn good number two or number three defenseman. And he's on a, you know, he's making 6.75 for this year and the next two. So we still have a couple years on his deal. I think you need to find a way to keep Ivan Provorov because I think Torts, there's something there with that player that Torts could unlock. But from what I've been seeing online and hearing, apparently he's a bit of a locker room problem. And supposedly Torts is kind of, there's been trouble there, kind of unlocking that, just that it factor with him. So, you know, overall, I don't think he's as bad as his haters think he is. And I've always been a fan of Ivan Provorov, and I would like to see him succeed with the Flyers because he was kind of our crowning jewel of the Hextall years,
mm-hmm.
besides Carter Hart. So I want to see it work out. But that being said, at 6.75 mil for this year and the next two, if a team like the LA Kings come calling or another contender that where they want to add him, you have to take the phone call because they might offer you something really good. I know the Kings are involving maybe a Quentin Byfield or an Alex Turcotte. Like, you have to take that call then.
I would, you know who I might, I'm going to take a shot in the dark here. And I think if Provorov does get traded, he goes to Seattle.
Who on Seattle do you think would they give back for him?
That's a good question.
Like, what's a realistic trade for Ivan Provorov to the Seattle Kraken? Who are the Seattle Kraken giving the Philadelphia Flyers?
Defense-wise, they're not really anything to write home about. But, I mean, they have... I wanted the Flyers to get Eli Tolvanen off of waivers. And Seattle picked him up.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. You could maybe get like a veteran forward for Provorov at the deadline.
I think if you're moving a D out, you need to bring a D back in. That's why the Kings are so attractive because they do have defensemen that they can move on and part with.
Yeah.
They've got a defenseman named Walker. I think who would be a good fit on the Flyers. I think his last name's Walker.
For L.A.?
Yes.
Sean Walker? Well, defenseman on the Kings.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a nice return.
I must have missed the fact that Alex Edler's on the Kings now.
Yeah, he's been there since last year or the year prior. But no, I mean... It's an interesting thing to think about with Ivan Provorov, but I definitely think if you trade him, you need to at least bring a defenseman back. The plus side in trading Provorov would be the fact now you're giving more of a trust and more of a handle in Cam York.
Yeah.
I think there could be a potential number one defenseman there in Cam York.
Yeah, I think Provorov also needs to go out west, too. If they trade him within division...
No, if you're trading Provorov, you need to make sure you're trading him to the Western Conference.
Yeah.
I definitely think he could benefit. As much as I hate to say this, it sounds like and looks like to me that's a player that could benefit from a change of scenery, even though I really want to hold on to him, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I don't know, my landing spot is Seattle. I do agree with, I feel like, I mean, again, it could be, I mean, realistically, obviously, it could be any team, but I don't know. Maybe, L.A., Seattle, maybe even Calgary, if they need to make a push. Calgary is only 7 points behind third place. Are they in a wild card in the West? Yes. Calgary is the first wild card. Edmonton for Provorov?
They need D, but they need D better than Provorov. They need to, like, revamp their defense. And Provorov's not going to do that for them. He would help. Like, he makes them better. But who is Edmonton going to give up for Provorov?
Would you do Provorov for Tyson Barry?
No.
No?
Barry's too... We already have a Tyson Barry on the Flyers, and his name is Tony D'Angelo. We don't need another one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, other than that, I mean, they definitely are not going to give up Darnell Nurse for Provorov.
No. But we are getting way ahead of ourselves here. We have, like, over a month. We have almost 2 months to the deadline. Hey,
you know it's never too early to speculate, right?
No, speculation's already begun on Twitter.com.
So, but yeah, I mean, we'll kind of wrap up our Flyers coverage here and just say they are playing well for now. They're fun to watch, which is great, which, again, is the point we've been trying to drive home ad nauseum, like many other points, is that
yes,
they're entertaining. And, again, we have a good problem in goal for once in 10 years. Like, Carter Hart and Samuel Eriksson are both playing well as of now.
They've got a Felix Sandstrom problem because he's only on a conditioning loan with the Phantoms.
Yeah.
So might have to move him.
But, I mean, you can never have too many goalies, so that's good.
Here's the thing, but Felix Sandstrom clearly, now that we've seen enough of Eriksson compared to Sandstrom, it is by far clear, leaps and bounds, that Samuel Eriksson is the better goaltender than Felix Sandstrom.
Yeah.
And if the Flyers are an organization that says they're committed to winning, like they say they are, if you continue to keep Sandstrom up with the team over Eriksson, they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
So
it wouldn't be the first time they've lied to us.
And it won't be the last either.
Yeah.
But my point is,
yes,
there's an issue there. Needs to be resolved.
Yeah. We will digress. But again, the Flyers are playing well as of now. They play the Capitals Saturday night in Washington. Should it be hopefully another good matchup, at least in a good game. Again, we just want the Flyers to put up a fight, make it interesting. You don't have to blow them out. You don't have to do anything fancy. Play hockey. That's all you need to do.
We're enjoying watching them right now. They're fun. Yes. They are a fun hockey team to pay attention to at the present moment.
Exactly.
Enough so that I purchased tickets for the next Thursday's game against the Blackhawks. So.
I was joking the other day that's the Battle of Bedard.
The Battle of Bedard. No, the Battle of Bedard's really between Chicago and Arizona, I think. But yeah. It'll be fun. I'm excited to actually go. Like, I didn't think I was going to think this way. At the beginning of the year, Master, with how negative we were, honestly did not think I would have any enthusiasm and be actually wanting to go to a Flyers game. But yet, alas, here I am. Bought tickets a week in advance for a very good price, thanks to Dan Silver.
Actually, that might be a game I'm interested in going to. Maybe we'll have to meet up.
Perhaps. We'll have to work out the details.
Yeah.
But Brent and I will be there, Section 221, Row 11, right on the aisle.
There you go. Can't be an aisle seat.
The best.
But yeah, like you said, I mean, they're in a good spot right now. We don't know where they're going to be next week. But hey, that's part of the fun, right?
I mean, hey, they should be Arizona and Chicago.
Yeah. And Anaheim.
Oh, yeah. They're done playing Arizona. I'm sorry. I meant to say Anaheim. The two A names got me confused. They should be Anaheim and Chicago next week.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think, again, like you said, Boston's an L.
All we know, they could go into Boston and the Bruins could maybe party too hard the night before. Who knows? But
that is true.
Hoagie is going to the game, so there will be some Flyers fans in attendance Monday afternoon.
At least one or two. So, but yeah, I mean, hey, they're doing well. We can't ask for much more. And life goes on, as they say.
Precisely.
So, but with that, we will get back to our usual around the league. Unless, Dave, you'd like to spout out any hot takes off the cuff this week?
I did not prepare any hot takes this week. I'm sorry if I let you down.
No, that's all right. I just wanted to see if you wanted to do anything.
No, I did not think of anything. Oh, actually, I will. I don't know, maybe it's a personal beef when it comes to hockey equipment and style.
Okay.
For some reason, I am the as you know, and as of many people know, I am very pro Bauer gear. I think they're the best brand out there for hockey equipment. I think they make the best. It looks the best, performs the best, etc. It bothers me when I see players like an Ivan Provorov who mix their Bauer gear. Like, you'll wear a Bauer glove and a Bauer stick, but then you're wearing CCM helmets and CCM skates. To me, it doesn't look right. If you got Bauer gear on, you should be dressed in Bauer head to toe. And it's fine. You know, I'll make an exception for, let's say you wear all Bauer, but then you have Warrior gloves, like a Gabriel Landeskog. To me, that's fine. That doesn't bother me. But it's just weird to me seeing CCM and Bauer intermixed. I don't know. It's just a personal irk. It's not really a hockey hot take. But me, as like a hockey player, a beer league enthusiast, beer league player, captain, general manager, it just looks funky to me when you mix those two brands together. I don't know why. It just does.
There you go. That's one off the cuff for you. I don't have one either. I was just going to ask if you have anything.
Nothing quite like last week. No.
That's all right. We'll keep the hot takes in the fridge for now before we got to heat them up again.
If we think of something, we'll split it out next time.
Yeah. But with that, we will go to our usual Around the League segment. And really don't have much tonight, mainly focusing on the All-Star game, which is coming up in... which is a good question.
I think it's the first weekend in February.
Yes. February 3rd at FLA Live Arena in Florida. And then the All-Star game. Oh, that's weird. The game is before the skills competition?
Is it really?
This is the All-Star game will take place on... never mind. Sorry. So the game is on February 4th and the All-Star game, the skills competition is the 3rd. My bad. I saw 4 and 3 together and I'm like, wait, why is the game before the skills competition? So the All-Star game, we'll get to that. But first, we have a couple of key injuries around the league. First off, we have the Chicago Blackhawks forward Patrick Kane being placed on IR by the Blackhawks on today, Thursday, with a lower body injury, which was retroactive to January 3rd. According to NHL.com, Kane skated for about 40 minutes and then joined the Blackhawks for the morning skate before saying he'd missed his third straight game against the Colorado Avalanche at United Center on Thursday tonight. He did not play when the Blackhawks defeated the Arizona Coyotes 2-0 on Friday and the Calgary Flames 4-3 in overtime on Sunday. Kane and coach Luke Richardson said there's a good chance he could play against the Seattle Kraken on Saturday. And with forward Mackenzie Entwistle, that's an interesting name, who was activated from IR Thursday today, will take Kane's spot in the lineup against Colorado. Kane said he sustained the injury after taking a hit from San Jose Sharks forward Evgeny Svechnikov in Chicago's 5-2 loss back on January 1st. He was asked if it's, quote, nagging. And he said it's different things, not exactly the same issue, but different things around that area that have caused problems or whatever. It's not bad. I mean, it's in a pretty good shape as of today. So it'll be nice to get a practice in with the team if we're skating tomorrow and pregame skate and be ready for Saturday night, quote. So just some stats here on Kane quick, Dave, before I throw it over to you. He's got 27 points in 37 games this season and is second on the Blackhawks to forward Max Domi with 28 points in 39 games.
I mean, this really – Kane being put on LTIR is only going to help the Blackhawks lose more games in their quest for Connor Bedard in the first overall pick. It's a shame that it looks like he's probably going to be on LTIR until he gets traded, because you have to think their Blackhawks are moving both him and Jonathan Toews this year. So if I were a Chicago fan, I would be a little bit bummed that Kane's going to be ending his Blackhawks career on a long-term injured reserve.
Gotcha. And then our next injury, if I can find it, my app refreshed on me without me telling it to. We have Canadiens forward Brendan Gallagher sidelined for at least 6 weeks with a lower body injury. He's a 30-year-old forward, missed the past three games, which the same injury sidelined him for 13 games before he returned back on December 29th and played three games. He scored in his most recent game, which was a 6-3 loss at the Nashville Predators on January 3rd. He has 9 points in 25 games this season, his 11th season in the NHL. And currently, career-wise, he has 390 points in 663 NHL games, all for the Montreal Canadiens. But again, he will be sidelined with a lower body injury for at least 6 weeks. And Montreal, I mean, not doing too hot in the standings in the division. They are last in the Atlantic. So a tough season for Montreal. They're not really, I mean, again, sorry, they're not really a good team right now. But they'll miss Gallagher for at least 6 weeks, and they go from there.
Another team hoping to be bad enough to get Connor Bedard.
True. Canada gets to have all the nice things.
But, oh, Canada.
So we actually had this happen earlier tonight, which is good because it just happened just a few minutes ago. But former defenseman PK Subban was given a nice pregame ceremony at the Bell Center earlier this evening when the Montreal Canadiens took on the Nashville Predators. The retired defenseman, who played 7 seasons for the Canadiens from 2010 to 2016, shared his moment with friends, including injured goalie and former teammate Carey Price. According to the article from NHL.com, he was greeted with a standing ovation and his name being chanted while he pushed a young girl, Mila, in her wheelchair onto the ice with him for the ceremony. He identified her as a friend of his from his charitable work with Montreal's Children's Hospital Foundation and led the crowd in also chanting her name. The 33-year-old said he spoke with the widow of Canadiens great Jean Béliveau, Elise, who was unable to attend but relayed her message, quote, saying, "She tells me that Jean Béliveau is smiling somewhere tonight."
Jean Béliveau.
It's been a long day. But he took the opportunity to address the current Canadiens and suggested a formula that brought him success when he played in Montreal. He had 278 points in 434 regular season games and 38 points in 55 Stanley Cup playoff games during his time with the Canadiens, before he was traded in that blockbuster with Shea Weber to the Predators on June 9th of 2016. I mean, Subban is just a guy where, we said this when he retired, he was bound to be a personality in the media. He was always a character, which, I mean, I liked him. He wasn't the most likable player at times, but, I mean, he knew how to get under people's skin, which is good. He had, obviously, I mean, his main... If it was wrestling, his main rivalry would have been with Brad Marchand. a great guy. Obviously, he's done a ton of charitable work in Montreal and will continue to do so. And he's on ESPN now, which is good. So it's good to see a guy like him get an easy transition into retirement and just start his second career so quickly with the media.
Yep. Nothing else to add there for me there, Matt. You covered it all.
All right, then we will roll on. So, in case you didn't know, like I said before when I got confused, the All-Star Game is on February 4th, and the Skills Competition is the night prior February 3rd. So, tune into those. They're on ABC and ESPN. I'm trying to find the rosters here.
I got them up.
I think I have them up now. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to see them, I'll name a couple guys from each one. But, I mean, let's see. The Metro Division, obviously, we have Hayes from the Flyers, Sidney Crosby, Johnny Gaudreau, Jack Hughes, Brock Nelson, Ovi, Andrei Svechnikov, Igor Shesterkin. Atlantic Division, we have Kucherov, Larkin, Marner, Suzuki, Thompson, Kachuk, and Linus Ullmark, the goaltender from the Boston Bruins. The Central Division, we have Kaprizov, Clayton Keller, Jason Robertson, Vlad Tarasenko, Seth Jones, Cale Makar, Josh Morrissey, and UC Soros, the Juice, as they call him in Smashville. And then from the Pacific Division, we have Matty Beniers, from the Seattle Kraken, Kevin Fiala, currently on the LA Kings, Nazem Kadri of Calgary, Connor McDavid, Elias Pettersson, Troy Terry, Erik Karlsson, and Logan Thompson. So those are your all-stars as of now. But as we mentioned before, there will be more All-Stars in the coming days because the fan vote is back, as it has been for... Is it the first year it's back?
Yeah, it was a couple years where they didn't do the fan vote.
Gotcha. But as we've said, please vote hashtag NHL All-Star Vote, followed by the player's full name or Twitter handle or another hashtag with the player's full name. So you have to put at least hashtag NHL All-Star Vote, and then you can put Travis Konecny. I don't think he has social media.
I don't think he has an Instagram.
I think he has an Instagram. I'm not sure.
I don't think he's. I know his mom's on Twitter.
Hey. But yeah. So NHL hashtag NHL All-Star Vote, followed by the player's full name, Travis Konecny. We want him in the All-Star game along with Kevin Hayes. You think he definitely deserves it? He's had a hell of a season so far, but
on pace for a career year.
Yep. So this All-Star vote serves to determine the final three players, two skaters, and one goalie for each of the four divisions: the Metro, the Atlantic, the Central, and the Pacific. So a total of 12 more players, three for each four. So we're hoping that obviously Konecny is one of those three. For the Metro, obviously, I mean, one of the two skaters, unless he magically plays goalie, which, hey, gives him a little bit of an edge on everyone else, but who knows. But the fan vote's back. We've told you multiple times how to vote, and
go do it.
We hope Konecny makes it. And Dave, your thoughts?
No, I mean, all the rosters I feel like are pretty deserving. Like we mentioned earlier, Kevin Hayes, you know, he obviously. It's kind of like the one thing he hasn't done in the league besides, you know, win the cup, you know, and it's something apparently his brother always told him, like, hey, it would be really cool if you could make the All-Star game. So it's kind of a good feel-good story there. Yeah, I mean, every other player I feel like is a appropriate representative for their team. So really no complaints. Like no one deserves to, like, you know, not be named. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, some players, of course, that got named on this list here will probably come up with an injury before the All-Star game and not go. So a replacement will be named for them. So who knows? But overall, I personally enjoy All-Star weekend. I know a lot of the players don't, but I like watching the skills competition and I like watching the game. You know, it's just kind of fun, stupid hockey to turn your brain off and just watch and enjoy.
Yeah. So.
No complaints from me. I think they're trying to make the NHL the whole weekend better. Because for a couple years there, it was getting stale. Last year, it was headed in the right direction. And I'm interested to see what they'd have happen this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, actually right now, I'd say that with the change in the NFL, with them just doing the Pro Bowl games instead of the actual Pro Bowl game, that might be what the NHL kind of boils down to at first or in the future. But again, I mean,
you always need hockey. You always need an All-Star game in some fashion with hockey.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very traditional.
The 3-on-3 is always really fun to watch.
So. You know, part of me also misses the full 5-on-5 shenaniganery from like years ago, where it was full 5-on-5 and it's like an 18-16 final. Like, I kind of miss those.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you're a fan of the game, it's fun, whatever it is. You just, like you said, you enjoy you kind of embrace the cringe and the stupidity of some of the things. So,
I mean, it's something where typically the fans of the home team who's hosting make sure to go because apparently it's a blast. So, like, if the Flyers were ever host an All-Star game, I would be there in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bucket list item for a hockey fan.
Yeah.
So. But with that, besides the rosters being named for the most part, we do have the four coaches for each division being named as well. This was on today, once again, Thursday, this afternoon. The four coaches for each division were named. We have Rod Brind'Amour of the Carolina Hurricanes behind the bench for the Metro Division, Jim Montgomery of the Boston Bruins behind the bench for the Atlantic Division, Pete DeBoer of the Dallas Stars behind the bench for the Central Division, and Bruce Cassidy of the Vegas Golden Knights behind the bench for the Pacific Division. Each one, again, will coach their respective divisions at the 2023 All-Star Game at FLA Live Arena in Sunrise, Florida, on February 4th at 3 p.m. on ABC and ESPN Plus, or CBC, Sportsnet, or TVAS if you're a Canadian viewer. Let me get the info for everyone out there on the skills competition as well. I lost my place. There we go. The skills competition will take place on February 3rd at 7 o'clock on ESPN, ESPN Plus, SN, Sportsnet, and TVAS. They haven't come out with any of the events for the skills competition yet, but we will update everyone when those things come to light.
Yes, and then the actual All-Star game itself will be the next evening on ABC.
Yep, so Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
But, Dave, with that, that pretty much does it for Around the League this week. Again, to wrap things up before I throw it over to you to really wrap things up, the Flyers, two thumbs up. Maybe they keep it going, maybe they don't. We're just here for the ride at this point. But they've got some good problems, and we'll see where it goes. But other than that, again, we're enjoying watching them, which is a big thing. And we'll see where they go from here. But yeah. Other than that, wrap us up.
I mean, that's all you can do, is you can just see where it goes and take it once upon a time and enjoy it for moment for moment. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. So as of the moment, you know, living in it and enjoying it. No complaints from me. So with that being said, before we do go, please make sure you check out our affiliates in the Pod Street Boys. Again, pumping out quality content every week from those lovely gentlemen there. So please, if you're listening to us, you should be listening to them as well. Excellent, excellent content. With that, you know, of course, Mash and I will be back next week. Who knows? We might have both of us boots on the ground for next Thursday's game against the Blackhawks. I'm sure we'll be discussing about that. But other than that, you know, a couple big games here coming up, and we'll see where the team is next week. With that, everyone, good night and good hockey.